From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues this series in Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This book sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll have a devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Divine love is rendered conspicuous when it shines in the midst of judgments. Fair is that lone star which smiles through the rifts of the thunderclouds. Bright is the oasis which blooms in the wilderness of sand. So fair and so bright is love in the midst of wrath. When the Israelites provoked the Most High by their continued idolatry, he punished them by withholding both dew and rain, so that their land was visited by a sore famine. But while he did this, he took care that his own chosen ones should be secure. If all other brooks are dry, yet shall there be one reserved for Elijah. And when that fails, God shall still preserve for him a place of sustenance. Nay, not only so, the Lord had not simply one Elijah, but he had a remnant according to the election of grace, who were hidden by fifties in a cave. And though the whole land was subject to famine, yet these fifties in the cave were fed, and fed from Ahab's table, too, by his faithful, God-fearing steward, Obadiah. Let us from this draw the inference that, come what may, God's people are safe. Let convulsion shake the solid earth, let the skies themselves be rent in twain, yet amid the wreck of worlds, the believer shall be as secure as in the calmest hour of rest. If God cannot save his people under heaven, he will save them in heaven. If the world becomes too hot to hold them, then heaven shall be the place of their reception and their safety. Be ye then confident when ye hear of wars and rumors of wars. Let no agitation distress you, but be quiet from fear of evil. Whatsoever cometh upon the earth, you, beneath the broad wings of Jehovah, shall be secure. Stay yourself upon his promise, rest in his faithfulness, and bid defiance to the blackest future, for there is nothing in it direful for you. Your sole concern should be to show forth to the world the blessedness of hearkening to the voice of wisdom.
My love.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, bringing the next portion of a message called Security Guarantees Fidelity. The text is in chapter 1, verse 23. "If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." In expounding the text, Dr. Cairns has been showing that all who are reconciled to God come to faith in Christ. Further, as the gospel is preached to all kinds of men, there are different responses. Unless the preached word is received into the heart by faith, there is no salvation. Then all who are reconciled to Christ continue in the gospel. Everything that the gospel has to say about Christ, his person, and his work is the gospel, without which no one can be saved. Dr. Cairns also sets forth the tremendous truth that our faith depends upon the Savior, not upon our grasp of him. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
There is a tendency, you know, to believe that doctrine doesn't really matter, that the doctrinal theological content doesn't really matter, that all you've got to do is be sincere.
Let me tell you, my friend, this is all part and parcel of the overall satanic dogma that the content of the gospel doesn't really matter. All that matters ultimately is if you're sincere and you're doing the best you can and you're really not doing anybody else too much harm, God's going to get you into heaven. And I want to tell you, that's the devil's lie. The content of the gospel does matter. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And apart from that truth known and received, there is no freedom, no salvation whatsoever. The faith, the content of the gospel, is absolutely essential to salvation. The foundation of that faith, he says, grounded. The word grounded is really the word founded. It comes from the word foundation. But I want you to notice what he's saying, therefore, that the security of our faith is not in the strength with which we exercise it, but it's in the foundation upon which it rests. The security of our faith is in our foundation of faith. What is that? 1 Corinthians 3:11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. What is that foundation that Paul is saying has been laid? It is Christ Jesus. He's the foundation. And you see, this is the glory of Christian security. We receive Christ by faith. Is our faith perfect? No. Do we not lament how little it is, how weak it is? But you see, the security of the believer does not depend on the strength of his faith. It depends on the Savior who is the foundation of his faith. It is not the strength of exercise of faith. And I'm all for us exercising faith and growing stronger in its exercise. Let us, as Hebrews 5 would indicate, let us by that exercise, just as people go to the gym to bodybuild, and by the exercise of muscle, they actually develop muscle. Well, let us by the exercise of faith develop faith, certainly. But let us never forget that the security of the believer is not in the strength of his believing. It's in the Savior in whom he believes. Jesus cannot fail. He cannot fail. You remember the Lord Jesus used what sound to be outlandish terms to make this point. And he deliberately used this overstatement. Now, you may take it literally, obviously. In certain circumstances, it could be literal. But I think it's a literary device, deliberately employed. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Now, I don't really think, and this is why I say I think it's deliberate hyperbole, I don't really think the Lord Jesus intended me to go and stand at the foot of Mount Everest and command it to be moved to Northern Ireland. First of all, Northern Ireland would sink into the ocean as the result. I don't think that's what he's saying. But the meaning is absolutely clear. It's not the amount of the faith. You see, ultimately, though we may say your faith has saved you, that's only the instrument for receiving. Ultimately, and in the truest sense, it's not faith that saves. It's the object of that faith who saves. It's Christ who saves. He is able to save to the uttermost. I mean, you can have all the faith in the world. If it's not in Christ, you'll never be saved. Faith in itself does not save. It is Christ who saves, and faith in Christ lays hold of him. Here's the foundation of faith, and therefore the firmness of this faith. It is settled. The word settled comes from a word really originally simply meant a seat. While settled is the obvious meaning, the roots of the word would remind us of someone in a seated position. Therefore, the word came to mean steadfast and firmed or unmoved. And this firmness of our faith, again, arises from the basis when you're sitting, you're resting. The whole idea is that the gospel's so certain that it cannot fail. What it says about Christ is true. Now, you need never fear that. A lot of things are going to happen in this world that you and I know nothing about, and we can't begin to figure out the way things are going to go. Be careful of preachers who have their little scheme of prophecy all worked out. They know all that's going to happen to the nations. They know all that's going to happen. I mean, I grew up listening to all this balderdash. I don't mean in the Free Church. I went around a few other places as well. I actually got my bearings listening to Bert Cook, who got us away from all this nonsense. I used to listen to a great preacher. I've often said, even though I didn't agree with him in prophecy, if he were alive today and preaching down in Atlanta, I'd go to hear him because I'd be blessed. He would set Christ before me somewhere in it, and a great preacher. I always admired how he preached, even if I didn't agree with what he was saying. Now, you're a great preacher, and I'll go to listen to you knowing that I don't agree with you. But I remember him, and he scared people. People in Northern Ireland sat there, hundreds of people sitting in this with their eyes getting big like saucers and their hearts pumping, and they were dead scared. And he said that there's a day coming, and you'll all be glad to hear this, of course. There's a day coming when Russia is going to blow America off the face of the earth. He had it all down. He knew that, of course. First of all, he could find Russia in prophecy. Of course, it was only his imagination. The Bible doesn't say a word about Russia in prophecy. Gog and Magog and Rosh and Meshach. The Bible tells you what it means by those things, and believe me, it's not Russia. And yet every one of these, this school of thought, they have the armies of Russia marching down into Israel and all the rest of it. There may be Russian soldiers there at the end. There may well be. I'm not going to say there are, there aren't. But I'm telling you, the Bible does not say that that's the meaning of Gog and Magog. So he could find Russia in prophecy, but he says, I can't find America in prophecy. Of course, he couldn't find Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Fiji, and all the rest of it. So I suppose they blew the whole lot of them off the face of the earth. I wonder how the earth could exist with all these parts blown away. But never think of these things. They had it all worked out. You be very careful about everybody, anybody who can tell you. He knows exactly all that's going to happen. I'm going to tell you there are things going to happen with the situation that's now developing. They're going to take you by surprise and take me by surprise. But I want to tell you this, no matter what happens, everything that Bible says about Jesus Christ is true. Mr. Braham alluded to this in the opening prayer.
Doesn't matter whether we can understand what's happening or not, whether we like what we encounter or what we feel in our own or circumstances or the national circumstances or the world circumstances. Jesus Christ is building His church. He is doing good to His people. He is carrying out His purpose. He is fulfilling His plan. He's fulfilling His promise. He's not off course. And He's not missing one beat of time. He's dead on time, doing exactly what eternally He planned to do. What the Bible says about Christ is true. What it says about us is true. What it says about the future is true. We can sit on this. We can rest on this. Your firmness comes from the truth in which you are resting. Rest on Him. This is what happens to Christians. The foundation and firmness of their faith comes from the one in whom that faith resides. So therefore we continue believing. Faith that is real, never forget this. Maybe this will answer some questions for people who wonder, was I saved when I was 9 or 10? Was I saved? Faith that is real. Let me change that slightly. Faith that had a real commencement always continues. It always perseveres. That is why I so often say the question is not, did I believe back then? The question is, do I believe now? I profess to believe then. If I do not believe the gospel, then I never did believe the gospel. If I do not believe in Jesus Christ, then I never did believe in Jesus Christ. That's the logic. Faith that had a real commencement always continues. So those who have been reconciled to God in the body of His Son through death, first of all, come to faith in Christ. Second, they continue in the faith of the gospel. The final thing that Paul makes clear is they are never moved away from the hope of the gospel. I said that what the Bible says about our future is true. The gospel that we have received, this gospel of reconciliation, assures our future. Paul has talked about that. Now, this has a present experience, as I pointed out, dealing with verse 22, but it has a future promise. He's going to present us before His own face, holy, perfectly holy. He's going to present us perfectly unblameable and perfectly unreprovable, beyond condemnation and beyond accusation, before God. That's our future. In other words, redemption and reconciliation guarantee our glorification.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.